The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Treasure Chest Thursday, everybody. It is November the 7th. Steve Geller, along with Mike Dettillier, hanging out with you at the Game Bar and Grill inside the Treasure Chest Casino. Get ready for Thursday Night Football this evening. Week 10 of the season is here already. We've got the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. King Henry in action. It'll be interesting to see how he does against that Bengals defense, because I know that King Henry has just been awesome all year long, and he's got to be licking his chops looking at that Bengals defense tonight.
Man, and the Ravens defense ain't nothing to write home about either.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh,
both
my
sides.
Goodness.
So Burrow might be having, although I don't know about his targets right now.
My thing about it is, I think all the pickers have said, man, the best play here, the over. And Derrick Henry over 80, whatever it is, 83 or 88 yards rushing in the game. No, I expect there'll be quite a bit of scoring in this football game. Both defenses have given up a lot of yardage and touchdowns. And, man, Cincinnati's defense is bad. The Ravens are better, but it ain't considerably better. And, man, you got those two quarterbacks gunning with one another.
Thursday night, they got to be happy with Amazon Prime with this showdown.
You better believe it, because they've had, man, that last one put you into snoozeville.
It's bad when you don't even want to watch the matchup anymore. You're like, do I watch this or put something else on?
Well, because somebody might have a Coca-Cola or a little dinner.
Something else.
You might have something else on the line, so to speak.
Looking at the Saints getting ready for the Atlanta Falcons, and I was saying this yesterday to Cullen in studio, Mike, that Falcons hate week has not felt in full throttle this week going into the matchup, just because
what happened in the beginning of the week.
Monday, you fired your coach. Tuesday, you traded away one of the best players on your defense, getting back some draft picks. So that's kind of been a distraction of what exactly is going on here. The interim head coach obviously introduced with Darren Rizzi. But, man, if there's a game to get right this week, at least can you say you beat the Atlanta Falcons in the Superdome, because you definitely don't want to lose the season series to them. And also, man, that seven-game losing skid is just weighing heavy right now.
Yeah, and you know who you're going up against, and the script to slow him down, you understand. If you can get pressure on Cousins and get him to move off of his launch pad, that's the key. But, man, he gets rid of the football so quick, and they set up their passing game with the running attack. And I was talking to Mark Schlereth about this during the week. Detroit's number one as far as offensive line and running the football, to me. Now, him and I were back and forth. Was it the Eagles 2 or is it Atlanta 2?
Right.
But they wanted the top three
one of those birds.
Teams as far as rushing the football. And I don't know what it is, but they got certain players that play better against certain teams. Tyler Allgeier.
Saints.
Every time you go up against that cat, he puts up all kind of yards. And look the Kirk Cousins of what he's done. But the crazy thing is, how could you lose the first game when you don't give up one offensive touchdown, but you know how you had a botched punt, Rashid dropped the ball, and then you know pick six for a score, but not one. And then okay, Younghoe Koo, I saw him the next week. He missed two field goals back to back. Well, why didn't you miss that against the Saints? No, he's good against the Saints too. Now he's like Tyler Allgeier. He puts up. If you got fantasy football, those guys are pretty good. But good news today,
right?
And hopefully that 21-day window is open. Eric McCoy, he was limited today in practice. But Eric McCoy was out on the field.
Big one to see that name back in the mix, because I think we've said this a bunch of times, too, with this offense. Those names that were missing in a Taysom Hill and an Eric McCoy really hurt this offense this season. You saw what when they were on the field, obviously, the first two games, what this team was capable of. And, well, right now, I don't even know who's playing wide receiver, though, for this squad.
Look at it this way. On a position, Eric McCoy is the best football player you got.
Right.
That's under 27 years old for sure, because it's either Eric McCoy or Alvin Kamara. It's one of the two guys that's your best football players. Man, Eric McCoy, when you play center, and I've been singing this song. You didn't heard it before. It is the second toughest position to play in the National Football League, other than at the quarterback spot. But you control everything up front. You're the kind of orchestra leader for the other four guys. Now, it used to be five, but, man, if you're a right or a left tackle now, you almost got to get, you know, a telescope to see where the tight end is. He's way flanked out there. He's like a real receiver. But he makes all the adjustments, all the calls, and the one big difference from, let's say, 35, 40 years ago when I started, most of your pressure was coming off the edge. Today, how they clip you? Right up the middle.
Up the gut, right.
It's close. Okay? And if you give these guys any kind of time to throw, they're going to eat you alive. So what you want to do is blow up the launch pad. And the quickest way to do it, right up the middle.
Yeah, you mentioned the corners, you know, trying to get to the quarterback. Kirk Cousins, obviously, you give him enough time. We've seen him pick this Saints defense apart. And that's with a guy like a Marshawn Lattimore and Paulson Adebo in the mix. They're not going to be there for this game, obviously. And then
did Kool-Aid practice today?
No, Kool-Aid did not practice. He's dealing with that hamstring issue. So I would think you're keeping Alante Taylor on the outside, and then there's another question of who's out there with him.
Well, the other guy, I'm throwing the ball right there from Cousins. Or I'll try to run.
Like a Shamar John Charles.
Yeah, and I'm going to go after him, okay? Nothing against him, but, okay, if I got to throw the ball to Alante Taylor's side or his side, sure. I know where I'm going. The other thing, too, is Kyle Pitts, and we've seen him sort of emerge. Now, I think he's dealing with a hamstring or something like that.
Yeah, he was limited today.
Oh, you know he can play. But he has been playing really well with Kirk Cousins, and it looks as though they have – you know, the right combination there. And, man, he's a big play guy. He's a big target. Man, he can run like a deer. But he's been hurt a lot in the National Football League. What a dominant player he was for the Florida Gators. And, Charlie, we'll talk about your boy when we get back.
Taking a break. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. You can chime in 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Like I said, stepping away. Be right back right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller at the Treasure Chest Casino. Talking everything from NFL, also NBA. Gentlemen, last night, rough run from the Pellies. I know. The team definitely hurting, but they got some good news before the game. Zion Williamson was able to take part. He kind of went to the locker room before halftime, but ended up coming back out. Had a good second half.
He did.
But overall, though, the team falling flat again, lost their third straight game, 131-122 to Cleveland. And, man, those Cavaliers now 9-0 on the year.
Cleveland's good.
They're rolling.
We talked about that yesterday. I do call it, man. Man, they pieced that together really well in Cleveland. But who had a great night last night with Jose Alvarado? Man, he shoot from the outside. Jose did an unbelievable job, but you sort of short-sheeted right now for his players are concerned. Bottom line is the Cavaliers are a better team than you. And even if you were full, you know, full roster of right. players, I think Cleveland's a better team than what the Pelicans are. And so, but it's tough to win on the road. So that 131-122 game, I thought the Pelicans did a better job defensively, even though you got those type of points. But I thought they played better. But, man, Cleveland, too. Can they hit them from the three-point range?
Pelly's now 3-6 on the season since winning their first two games. A really weird, reminiscent kind of storyline as the Saints right now. Obviously, they're not on a seven-game skid, but like I said, they won their first two games, and now they're just 3-6 on the year. They've had the injury issues just like the black and gold. I joked with Todd Graffinini before the game tipped off. I'm like, why don't you go over to the building over there, change the water filter or something to help with these guys?
Man, I'm going to tell Todd, you better be careful. You know, it might start hitting the announcers over there, too.
Right.
You know, so, hey, better be careful.
Well, I talked to Jeff Nowak today. He ended up playing some pickup a soccer game with buddies. He hurt his knee, so I'm like, great, the media's getting banged up now.
Oh, great day in the moment.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, get into more NFL and Saints talk. Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champ with the black and gold, also does the team's pregame and postgame analysis on YouTube. We'll be right back with more of that. Checking in on the linebacker and the black and gold right after this on WWL.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We are enjoying the game bar and grill here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Mike and I actually having some boneless wings right now. What'd you go with? I got lemon pepper. Oh, I see you're eating. I'm sorry.
I'm good. Garlic Parmesan.
All righty. Getting into some Saints-Falcons talk. Speaking of birds, the Falcons come to the Superdome on Sunday. They're leading the NFC South right now. To help us break that down and talk about everything black and gold, Super Bowl champ and Saints pregame and postgame analyst Scott Shanley is joining us. Scott, always appreciate the time. And how you been this crazy week?
Yeah, I'm doing good. A lot going on this week for sure on multiple fronts. But, it's going good. Hoping for a big win this weekend in the Dome against the Dirty Birds.
Scott, when change like this happens, you sort of get a little bit of a bump. I think the enthusiasm. And, you know, Darren Rizzi, personality-wise, is kind of the 180 against Dennis Allen. But still, the wounds on this football team are still there, okay? The deficiencies are still there. Hopefully, you can get Eric McCoy back either next week or the following. But the holes on this football team are obvious. But I think that initial game, you get a little bit of a bump. And we've seen some crazy stuff. And you've been involved with crazy games against the Falcons. I don't care if it's in Atlanta or in New Orleans.
Yeah, the rivalry is fun because both teams have been pretty competitive. I mean, there's hate between the cities. You know, when we were there, Matt Ryan has also got Roddy White. There's always tons of trash talk going back and forth. This year, I don't know if there's going to be as much now. I mean, the Falcons kind of look at the Saints like, you know, you're a team in turmoil. You don't have a head coach. But I agree with you. I think, you know, Mr. Benson knew that Dennis wasn't going to come back. So I think at that point, when you know that he's no longer going to be your coach, you do something different to inject some life into the team, into the fan base. Because without hope, you know, what's the incentive for people to go to the game? What's the incentive for people to buy product? What's the incentive for people to turn the TV on? I mean, I understand those things from an ownership standpoint. And once you know Dennis is no longer going to be your head coach, you know, you have to do something different. So I think as a player, you know, there's a lot of guys in that building who love Dennis Allen, who hated to be the reason Dennis got fired because he didn't play well. But at that, it's the business of winning from the front office to coaching to playing. If you're not winning, they're going to replace you. And that's just where this organization is right now. And, you know, I still think this team, when healthy, can beat anybody on any given Sunday. They're a talented team, but the injuries have just been too much to overcome.
Question. And nobody's got enough depth when you get hit that hard. And there's only so many Band-Aids you can put on the wound. And then, you know, you got the aftermath. One of the things with Atlanta, Scott, that they're one of the better, I would say one of the top three or four rushing teams in the NFL. The way they built up front along the offensive line. And then you got Bijan Robinson. But one pain in the butt every time you play him is Tyler Allgeier. Man, I don't know what it is. And you've been involved in, you know, I play better against that team than this team. Tyler Allgeier, every time he'll line up against the Saints. If you got him in fantasy football, you might be happy.
You know what? You said it's funny because there's certain running backs that nobody really pays much attention to, because obviously when you have Bijan Robinson, he's going to get all the credit and the love because he's an outstanding player. But you're right. Allgeier's just one of those backs that if you're one-on-one, he seems to need more than one guy to tackle him. And he's a powerful guy. He makes – and then you say, well, he's powerful. He must not be shifty, and he makes guys miss in space. So those second running backs, those guys who come in to give the starter a breather, are always kind of the forgotten guy. But sometimes those guys are the most dangerous. We went through that. I remember back in the day with Carolina Panthers. They always had two really good running backs, and, you know, you'd always – try to focus on taking the starter out, and the second guy would come in, and he'd end up hurting you more than the first guy. So he's the guy you have to game tackle. If you don't get in your gap, the Saints have had trouble in the running game. If you don't stay in your gap and fill all those lanes, the running game for Atlanta can certainly hurt you, no doubt.
One of the things with Kirk Cousins, and he's had some big games against the Saints also. I don't care if he was with Washington or with the Vikings, and he didn't really light them up the last time, because all I know is I don't see how you lost that one, because you didn't give up one offensive touchdown all game long. You give up a touchdown off a muff punt, and then you get a pick six. Cousins is, I think, Scott, you could kind of draw the game plan up against him. If you can get pressure up the middle on him and get him off his mark, that's when he's going to throw something up that you maybe can pick off. But if you don't get pressure up the middle on him, you're in trouble, because he's just going to pick you apart. He's a seasoned vet, and people say, well, blitz him all the time. Well, man, he's smart enough. He wants you to blitz you all the time, because he knows where his read is real quickly.
Yeah, and I think the one thing about Kirk is, you know, he's a streaky guy. When he's on fire, he's on fire. I mean, you saw a few weeks ago he threw for 500 yards or 400 yards against the Buccaneers. Maybe he's almost close to 500. They went to overtime. He's a streaky quarterback that when he's playing well, he plays as good as the best of them. And the one thing you mentioned it, it's easy to say, well, he doesn't do as good against the blitz, so just blitz him every play. The problem with him in Atlanta is he's got mismatches. He's got Bijan Robinson out of the backfield. He's got Kyle Pitts. He's got Drake London. London's been banged up a little bit. I don't even know if he's going to play, but those mismatches, when you blitz, you really have to like your matchup, and the Saints are banged up in the secondary, so I don't know if the Saints are going to bring a lot of heat. I could see them trying to take away the running game, playing a lot of zone, trying to keep the ball in front of them.
One of the guys that's really come through for them, and he's sort of overlooked because, you know, we talk about Bijan and Tyler Allgeier and Kyle Pitts and Drake London, Darnell Mooney. Oh, from Tulane. Okay, he's with the Bears. And, man, I don't know what you want to describe their offense the last couple of years, but it's not been good. And now he goes with Atlanta. And you can see in certain third down plays and first down plays, first and third, Kirk wants to get Darnell the ball out in the flat. And I know one thing. Man, Darnell can run. I mean, he's got some big-time speed, but he's one of those guys, when you think about the Falcons, he's not in the conversation. Watch him make a big play or two against the Saints.
Yeah, and he was a headache the first time around, and a lot of it is you mentioned, his speed. He's really electric. There's not a whole lot of defense coordinators. Like, when you have Drake London, you have Kyle Pitts, and you have Ethan Robinson, we mentioned those three, defensive coordinators are really going to focus on those guys. So I think Mooney does a great job of taking advantage of the matchups he gets. And I don't know, for some reason, I don't know what it is about Atlanta. I remember back when we played Atlanta, Harry Douglas would kill us all the time. Gonzalez, we would kind of hold. Roddy White, Julio Jones, we kind of hold down. But then there was Harry Douglas, who's the other kind of forgotten guy. You can't cover everybody or double-team everybody. And now it seems like Mooney is kind of that guy in this offense. But he's electric, and you have to make sure you corral him and get multiple guys to him as well, just like Algier, because these guys, they make plays in space, and I think that's what's good about their offense.
Hey, Scott, Mike mentioned the fact that, you know, in these interim coaches, you tend to get that bump from a team going into the next game. Well, I know Darren Rizzi, just hearing him, he definitely brings a big bump to this team. What do you know about him and what he provides going into this final stretch of the season now for the Black and Gold in his relationship with the players?
Listen to him good. Listen to him good. He's a northern version of Coach O. He got that raspy voice like he's fixing to lose it.
Yeah. I don't know him personally, but I just know from being around the team. You know, I was out at camp and going to meetings and watching how he talked in front of the team during special teams meeting. Definitely a high energy guy. He captures the attention of everybody. He would have jokes. He would keep it light and then be back to business. So I think he's got a huge personality. But he knows how to grind when it's time to grind, and knows how to have fun when it's time to have fun. So if this team starts to have some success with Coach Riz, you know, he's going to have a legitimate shot at being the head coach for the Saints. I truly believe that. That's why they're giving him this opportunity. Saints go 7-1 or something crazy like that. I mean, you have to give – if you know Dennis isn't going to be your coach, give somebody else an opportunity to show what they're like in front of you. And so it's a huge opportunity for him, an opportunity he's been waiting for his whole life. And, you know, we'll see how the players respond. But yeah, I think he's going to bring a lot of energy and juice to the team.
Scott, Monday Night Football, we were talking about it with a couple of people that were here. Man, and, okay, Tampa gets an opportunity. They score a touchdown. And, okay, if you lose the coin toss in overtime, you give it to Mahomes. Your thoughts on Todd Bowles going for the extra point and not going for the two? My thing is, hey, listen, even if you missed it, I'm going to lose it or win it on that play. I'm not giving Mahomes another opportunity with the football in his hands.
No, I agree with you. Mahomes, you know, Mahomes really reminds me of, and I know everybody compares him, is he going to be the greatest all-time Brady? But when I watch him play, it's how he plays the game. Every game, he plays a different game, and he plays it, how do I have to win this game tonight in front of me? And so because he's so good at that, whether it's throwing for yards, whether it's throwing the ball deep or intermediate or handing the ball up, he's so good at managing the game and finding a way to win those games. But I agree with you. The longer you play games against great players like that who know how to manage the game, the worse your odds of winning that game are. So if you have an opportunity to win a game against Mahomes, especially on the road, I think you take it. And a lot of times teams get too conservative. I know Todd's a defensive guy. But, yeah, if you have an opportunity to beat Mahomes in overtime, you do that and go home with a win, hopefully.
Overall, Scott, looking at that trade that the Saints made, getting Marshawn Lattimore to the Washington Commanders, getting some draft picks back. Obviously, a talent like Marshawn, you hate to see him leave. I know a lot consider him the best corner in Saints history. And now you look, you got Paulson Adebo's down right now. Alante Taylor, I would think, would step into that outside role for the remainder of the season. But just losing a talent like Marshawn is always tough. But like I said, it was at least something beneficial. You're getting some draft capital back in return that this team definitely needs, that influx of young talent come next season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's no doubt Marshawn Lattimore is a heck of a player. And then you trade him away and you see he's only 28 years old and you're like, man. But the reality is, and you just said it, you need draft capital. That's the way you're going to get out of this. you know, this 8-9, 9-8 type of thing that we've been in the last couple of years is you need to draft well. You need to get some draft capital. You know, you haven't drafted a Pro Bowler in 6 years. I mean, you have to hit on some drafts, and to do that, you have to have draft capital. Marshawn, what's going to hurt is watching. You know, the other thing about Marshawn is his salary was high. He was hurt a lot. So those things all add up to, hey, it's time to move on. Let's get some picks. But, you know, it's going to hurt because I think Washington's one of those up-and-coming teams. You're going to watch Marshawn in the playoffs. He's probably going to lock somebody down. And as a Saints fan, it's going to hurt a little bit. But you kind of know it's for the greater good. You have to get some picks to get out of where we are right now.
Scott, have you ever seen a player or you went up against a player in the NFL in his first year like Jaden Daniels? I mean, you know, he's kind of jaw-dropping on what he can do. He doesn't put too many bad balls up that would be intercepted. He knows when it's time to run. Now, one of the things I told him in the offseason, hey, you better learn how to slide or get it running out of bounds. Now, he would always give me a big smile and laugh, but, man, he is so dynamic. And what he's done for the Commanders franchise, man, ain't nobody wanted to play for them. Now, you got quite a few people that would want to play for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, he's a special player. You know, you say that. I just saw there was a poll last week or 2 weeks ago that they asked a bunch of players in the NFL, if you were to get traded or a free agent, what organization would you want to get signed with? And the number one answer was the Washington Commanders. That is the Jaden Daniels effect. That franchise, to see what he's done there in a short amount of time, almost like what Burrow did in Cincinnati. I think a lot of times people they spend so much time on the negatives about kids coming out instead of what their positives are. You know, he's sly. He's going to get hurt in the NFL. He's too skinny. Man, I don't care. That guy tore up the SEC. You don't tear up the SEC conference and not at least be a good NFL player. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's a great leader. Guys love being around him. You get that type of guy, and it really changes your franchise, and you've seen what he's done in Washington.
Scott, give us a little bio. What's happening at Nebraska in football?
Oh, man, where do I start? Oh, now, it's been rough. It's been rough. There's, you know, they have a young quarterback. He's the highest rated quarterback that they've ever recruited, Dylan Raiola. He's only 18 years old. So, you know, it's about keeping those guys around and building around those guys. I just think there are some interior linemen away, some D linemen, some pass rushers away. But they just can't get over this hump. Like, once it's like they start getting this confidence and beat Colorado really bad early in the year, and then they go and lose to Illinois the next week. So it's about just building confidence and keeping it rolling. They just have not been able to do that. Unfortunately, it's been about 10 years of that.
Yeah. I've seen this movie already.
Scott, definitely looking forward to seeing you in the Dome on Sunday. A big one. Hopefully this black and gold bunch snap that skid, take down the Dirty Birds, and at least make the fans happy for one weekend, right? It's been a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I always go back to this. When I got to the Saints, I remember the Saints fans telling me, we want to win every game. Just don't lose to Dallas or Atlanta. So let's start there. Don't lose to Atlanta, and we'll make people happy for at least a week.
Always appreciate your time, man. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, no problem. See you guys.
Super Bowl champion, Saints pregame and postgame analyst Scott Shanley joining us there. Man, oh, man, the Dirty Birds coming to the Superdome. And haven't even brought up Alvin Kamara having the chance to now become the team's all-time leading rusher, 11 yards away from tying Mark Ingram. I'm sure Marky Mark will be in the stadium, too, on Sunday against Atlanta.
Man, my thing about it is, man, that's why a lot of people, I wouldn't have paid Alvin Kamara. You watch him run. He's still got some gas left in the football tank. And, okay, how many playmakers do you have? I mean, he's him and Taysom.
Alvin Taysom, that's what I was going to say.
Because you have no idea on if or when Chris Olave comes back this year. Rashid Shaheed's lost for the season. Man, Alvin's going to be carting two real heavy buckets of water for you all the way down the stretch. And hopefully he can stay healthy. And Taysom can stay healthy.
Amen to that. Taking a break. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk here inside the Game Bar and Grill at the Treasure Chest Casino. Hope to see you as we are gearing up for Thursday Night Football. The Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Baltimore Ravens right here at WWL 7 o'clock. Taking a break and be right back with more Sports Talk after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller, bringing it to 7 o'clock when it will be Thursday night football between the Bengals and Ravens taking over. A nice matchup tonight to start week 10 of the NFL season. And some college football news today, guys. It was kind of interesting to find out Florida sticking with ULL former coach Billy Napier.
Man, when I saw Strickland put out the deal that
big
he's going to be back.
Right.
And then part of this, too, guys, is economics. Billy's buyout is $25 million. And so you would have to pay him the $25 plus bring in a new coach. I know Florida got some heavy money people, but it's just been disappointing. And I know that, man, Dan Mullen didn't do a good job recruiting. That ain't one of his specialties. But, man, you got to win. And in Florida, okay, who are they going to compare you to? Steve Spurrier, Urban Meyer.
Always, right.
Those are the two guys. And Billy ain't come close to any of that. And so good luck to Billy. And I think he's got a really good incoming recruiting class. But why Strickland made the comment was, I've got buddies of mine that do this. You want to go to Florida? You're going to have a new head coach next year. And that's how they recruit him to their school.
Right.
Basically, so they use that, and that's why I think Strickland had to come out with that comment.
Yeah, it was pretty big. I know. I think everybody was expecting going even into this season, looking at Florida's schedule, it's like, Napier's time's a ticking in Gainesville right now.
Yeah, and the way they started the season, man, it was bad. And then, you know, you lose your starting quarterback, though I think the backup guy is better than him to begin with. But there isn't one thing they do really well. When you watch the Gators, that's not one thing offensively that they do really good, and that's Billy's wheelhouse. That's where he's from. He's on that side of the football as being a former wide receiver coach.
I saw someone was talking about on Twitter the fact that his relationship too with the incoming quarterback had a lot to do with the Florida decision to keep him on, also the NIL money.
Well, man, listen.
All about the money, right?
Yeah, it's all going to be about the money. But I think when they took a look at it, the recruiting part of other people using it against you to get top recruits. And what? We got to cut this guy $25 million dead money? We talk about dead money all week. Now, that's dead money.
We'll get more into college football with Danny Cannell next hour, college football analyst, coming on courtesy of Bet Online. Also in the 6 o'clock hour, Tony Sakalis, managing editor of Tide Illustrated, as we continue to break down the Tigers versus Tide Saturday night. We'll be right back with more sports talk right after this. Time for news here on WWL.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready for the weekend here on Sports Talk. Plenty of NFL action and college, of course. We've got LSU with the big one, always in Death Valley, with Alabama coming to town Saturday night. Going to be talking to Danny Cannell after the first break, college football analyst, courtesy of Bet Online. And some cool little facts going into this matchup, guys. You see that Olivia Dunn and Paul Skeens will be the guest pickers as College Game Day will be on campus in Baton Rouge. Pretty good representatives for the school to be on College Game Day. I like that one.
Yeah, you're talking about NIL money? There we go, right there. And so, yeah, they've been the power couple.
Right, for sure.
Power couple. And so I'm going to get some spotlight shined on that. The other thing, too, Nick Saban coming back to Baton Rouge as an announcer. And, you know, a lot of people say, you know, you think he's going to be greeted bad? What? No, I don't think he's going to. Man, Nick Saban helped build the program LSU has today. Now, people hated Nick because they feared him.
Right.
When he took that job, the fear was, man, he could build Alabama just like he built LSU, and he built it beyond. And so I'll be interested to see kind of the deal for Nick because, listen, he was the one that laid the foundation for LSU football. LSU was a middle-of-the-road team in the SEC when Nick took over, and look what he did. He brought him to a national championship. And, man, he had another team built up had he stayed and not went to the Miami Dolphins. And I get it. You want to try your shot at the NFL. It didn't work out. But, man, he was something in that role from Alabama. And he was the most hated man in the state of Louisiana, for sure. But I think the hate really has everything to do with fear. And the fear was well implemented because you feared him when you went up against him.
And I get it. Obviously, you go from LSU to Alabama, but there was that transition like you just mentioned there. He tried his hand at Miami first. It wasn't like he left Baton Rouge for Tuscaloosa.
Like a lot of college coaches, okay, you're going to do it my way or the highway.
Yeah.
What? How much money are you getting paid, Coach Saban? Oh, I'm making more than you. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of how it ended in Miami. And people who covered the Dolphins back then are still mad because he denied everything. I'm not in touch with University of Alabama.
Right.
I don't know nothing about it. I barely remember, you know, they had a football program. And then, you know, 24 hours later, he's getting off the plane. He's the new head coach. Now, I know his agent got a lot to do with that. Jimmy Sexton took care of all that. But still, You can't say I don't know nothing about it, and then you take the job the next day. Man, they got people there. They still kind of upset with Mr. Saban about it.
We can thank Nick, though, and his training staff in Miami for passing on Drew Brees.
Yeah, and I did some tours, Tiger tours, and Nick was there. And I asked him about it, and, you know, the deal was if I could get the right quarterback, because he felt that was the thing in pro football. It all built around the quarterback. So he leaves LSU and he goes to Miami, and Brees is there. Now, Brees ain't going to pass any physical at that time, okay, because Dr. James Andrews had just redone his shoulder. So the team doctor flunked it. Randy Mueller can tell the story about it. But I remember those Tiger tours. He always emphasized that for a pro team, I want the quarterback. And I thought when he had a chance to sign Drew, he would do it. And, you know, they went with the doctor's orders and didn't sign him. The Saints took a chance, and it was a big chance, but, man, did it pay off.
Ended up in with Culpepper in Miami, huh?
Yeah, Dante Culpepper. Yeah, and that
didn't work out well.
That
right?
That didn't work out too.
He didn't
too
have Randy Moss to throw to over there.
No, he sure didn't, man. That was some heydays in Minnesota.
Oh yeah,
though.
For sure.
And man, he was a big guy, Culpepper. He
right?
was no small man. He was a big man. He took off running downfield. Now, you don't want him running anchor on the 400-meter relay team, but
right. He
was a big horse.
Another kind of interesting and big news for this Tiger team heading into the matchup. We are going to have a live Bengal Tiger on the field during the game. I couldn't believe when I saw that. I was like, wow, it's back.
My thing is, we got bigger fish to fry in this state to be worried about a damn Tiger on the field. I get
it. It's a cool, menacing, presence.
Okay, growing up, I saw it.
Yeah.
Okay, they did it back then. But, man, if that's your point of emphasis, come on. You got much bigger things to do in this world than worrying about the Tiger being on the field.
We are going to get into some of those bigger things in college football for this weekend. Danny Cannell, college football analyst, courtesy of Bet Online, will join us after the break. You can chime in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line, 504-260-1870. If you got a question for me and Mike, we're going to take a break right now. Be right back with more of Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino right after this. Steve Geller along with Mike Dottiglia, counting down to those big games and helping us right now, Danny Cannell, college football analyst, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff conference, Heisman and college football week 11 lines. Danny, how you doing, man?
Steve, Mike, what's going on, fellas? How we doing, man? I'm fired up for a big November like slate. We're getting into the final months of the season. The playoff races are getting tight, man. It's going to be awesome.
Danny, it's kind of cannibalization in the SEC. You know, it is what it is. But your thoughts on LSU, Alabama? Both teams are flawed. They can't run the football. Neither one, as far as the running backs now. Alabama got that guy, quarterback, that can run pretty well. And, man, Alabama secondary. Danny, I can't remember another season that they can't cover. Their cornerbacks are just getting eaten alive, and then LSU's giving up chunk yardage against the run. So I think this comes down to, in the fourth quarter, who makes the mistake at quarterback? Either Garrett Nussmeier or Jaden Milroe.
I think it's a really good assessment. I think that's a really good assessment, and I'd have to agree with you on all accounts. Like, it has been stunning to see Alabama and their secondary struggle. Even in the game against Tennessee, which they lost, they should have lost by more. Nico Iamalieva, the quarterback for Tennessee, missed about three wide-open guys that were open for touchdowns. Otherwise, that game gets a little bit sideways. We saw the South Carolina game. They're giving up big plays. That game shouldn't be competitive. So to your point about the quarterbacks, like, who do you trust more? Because it's been a little bit of a bumpy ride, right? They're both coming off games. Garrett Nussmeier's coming off of a game against A&M where he had those three interceptions, and it was a little bit rough for him. Milroe, I know they got things back on track versus Missouri, but I look at that Missouri team just like a wounded duck that's not a very good out. And yet in the last four games for Jalen Milroe, he's got three touchdowns, five interceptions. But I think more importantly, Milroe has not been going off with his legs the way he did last year. He hasn't eclipsed 50 yards rushing in the last four games, and that really is what makes him special. So if you're LSU, can you do what teams recently have been able to do, and that's control him? Like, keep him in the pocket, make sure he doesn't kill you for that big run. And I think they can do it with some success and then not give up the big play to Ryan Williams, their freshman wide receiver who's been a freshman sensation. And I really do trust Garrett Nussmeier, who, yes, he's been up and down and he's had his moments, but I also look back at the Ole Miss game when he had a couple interceptions again, but it was the fourth quarter when they needed him and a fourth down conversion, and he steps up. And with some quarterbacks, you see them after a couple interceptions lose their confidence. I have never once seen Garrett Nussmeier's confidence waver. So I actually do like LSU playing at home. I think he has a big night playing against that secondary. The other thing, I think he gets better protection from his offensive line. They struggled on the road against A&M, where they had probably one of the better defensive lines in the SEC. Another thing about Alabama's defensive line, they're not as dominant as they've been in years past. So I think you see some protection for Nussmeier. I think he's able to get the ball through the air, and I do like LSU to cover and probably to win the game, but I do think it's a high-scoring game too. I think both of these offenses will have a lot of success.
Danny, watch the health issue of C.J. Daniels in this game at wide receiver. LSU's offense really percolates when Daniels is healthy. He does the dirty work, okay? He'll run that short intermediate route, and Nussmeier likes to throw that type pass. But also he's their best blocker as a receiver. Now, he's been nicked up a little bit, and I think he's probable, Steve showed me right, for this game against Alabama. He's a key because I could tell Garrett trusts him. He's going to be in the spot where I'm going to throw it. And he might not be the big-name guy, but if Daniels is healthy, that's a big plus for LSU.
huge plus. And I totally agree with you. I also, the other thing too about LSU, I love CJ Daniels, but he does have other weapons to work with, whether it's Mason Taylor, who's been a big playmaker for him, Kyron Lacy, we all know about, but the weapons that he's got, I really think if you want to slow down Alabama, it really does. They've been a little bit too one-dimensional going to Ryan Williams for the big play. You have to make sure he doesn't go off. And he is special. He's made a bunch of big plays. He's, you know, him and Jeremiah Smith are the two true freshmen that everyone's talking about. You just can't let him have that big play, because it really does feel like that offense thrives off his big playmaking capability through the air.
Danny, your thoughts, Ole Miss, Georgia. Now, I got people trying to convince me. I mean, go with Ole Miss here. They're playing at home. I'm telling you, man, okay, you got to do it. I still think Georgia wins. I think it's close. But, man, I bid on it a little bit last week. I thought that was going to be the year Penn State beats Ohio State. Not that they didn't have chances, but some lousy play calling. But Ole Miss, Georgia, your thoughts on that game?
So early this week, and I was coming in, you know, coming off the Ole Miss game when Ole Miss goes into Fayetteville, puts up 63, and they blow out Arkansas, jump out all over them. Probably Monday I came in, and I was like, man, Ole Miss, man, they are hot right now. Like, they are the team that looks so good. I feel like we've been here before, though, right? They've had momentum before. They've been undefeated. I mean, I always go back to the game where Lane Kiffin said, get your popcorn ready right before the game against Alabama. And then next thing you look up the scoreboard and you're down 28-0. I don't think it'll be that type of game. I think Ole Miss is really good. But you know what I'm worried about for Ole Miss? I think they miss Quinshon Judkins. They have not been running the ball with much success. And even last week in the game, Jackson Dart threw for 515 yards, 6 touchdown passes against Arkansas. I think that's their best way to score points. It's when they're most prolific. So now we're telling me that Jackson Dart is going to be able to throw the ball for even 400 yards or even 300 yards against the Georgia defense, which we saw what they did in Texas when they're at their peak. I would expect the best of Georgia's defense. I think they're able to keep Ole Miss in check. But here's where I think it'll be close. Like you, I think Ole Miss's defense is pretty good, and Georgia's got an issue with the turnover bug, specifically in Carson Beck, who has just – it's been inexplicable. I think he's having a crisis of confidence right now. He doesn't look like he's seeing the field well. He's not playing with a tremendous amount of confidence. In their three biggest games against Bama, 3 picks cost them the game. Against Texas, it didn't cost them, but it sure kept them from blowing them out, 3 picks in that game. And then, of course, last week against Florida, you look up at the scoreboard, it's 20-20. And even Carson Beck said the only way that game was close is because he was turning the ball over. I am concerned about his play, but I think they get enough out of the run game and their defense to get out of, with a close victory. So I'm like you. I need to see Lane Kiffin do it before I believe it. So I'm backing the Dogs, but I also think it'll be a lower-scoring game.
BYU, Utah. Now, it's not like BYU got to travel too far to go to Utah. But I was surprised that I think the line is either 3 or 3.5, depending on where you bet. I thought that would be a little bit more. BYU has really played well. Utah's been a bit of a – no, they're never going to be a great offensive team, not with the coach. They want to grind it out and play good defense and kind of feed off turnovers. BYU has really played well this year in a lot of different aspects. Your thoughts on BYU-Utah? Because, Danny, I thought that line would be more like 5 than 3.5.
I am with you. I look at this game. I think BYU is the most disrespected team by the committee and by fans, you know, because their resume is really good. They've got 2 wins over top 25 teams in Kansas State and SMU. And yet the odds makers, they don't respect them either. And I think this is a healthy respect for Utah's defense, because it cannot be for their offense. They lost Cam Rising, who was the 6th-year senior who was coming back. He's lost for the season. Then they're playing Zach Wilson's younger brother, Isaac Wilson, who has really struggled with the turnover bug this season. He's got 8 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. And now Kyle Whittingham coming into this game says we might make a change at quarterback, playing Brandon Rose, who's a sophomore, you know, quarterback that really hasn't played much football at all. What it tells me is that Utah offense isn't going to score many points. So can their defense keep them in this game? I think it's a healthy respect for Utah's history of success. I think it's a healthy respect for the rivalry. I think it's disrespectful to BYU. I think BYU continues to get it done, goes into Rice-Eccles, which is really, you know, nasty place to play. But Utah's 4-4. I'll ride with BYU, saying their Cinderella story continues and they stay undefeated.
Look at another one of those big games this weekend. You got Coach Prime bringing Colorado to Texas Tech. Colorado, a 3-point favorite on the road. How are you feeling about this matchup, which should be interesting?
So last year I was a Colorado hater, right? I thought they were so overrated. I thought it was all smoke and mirrors. It was all talk and not much substance. And this year, I think they're a legit football team. I think they're a really good football team. And I think there's a potential they could be the best football team in the Big 12. But it's a really tricky game for them because Texas Tech, Lubbock is not an easy place to go to. They have a top five running back in the country and a guy named Taj Brooks, who is fifth in the country in rushing yardage. Their quarterback, Baron Morton, is really a pretty good quarterback. He led a last-minute drive down the field on the road to win against Iowa State, which was really impressive. But they're coming off of that emotional win. Can they match the emotion and get up again? I think they can. If the number is over 3.5, I love Texas Tech. Otherwise, I'd probably say maybe even have some push protection because I think Colorado could win by a field goal. But I think this is a field goal type game. Again, pay attention to the number. I think it's huge. If you get 3.5, I really like Texas Tech. The other thing I really like is Travis Hunter for the Heisman Trophy. This kid is so special. What he's doing, we have not seen in 50 to 75 years of college football. We've seen some guys play a little bit on both sides of the football. Travis Hunter is a starter on wide receiver, where he's probably one of the best wide receivers in the country. He's a starter at corner, where I think he's one of the best corners in the country, and he plays over 115 snaps a game. It is inhuman. Like, it is hard to believe what he does, making an impact on both sides of the ball. He is awesome. And Shador, I think, is going to be the top quarterback taken in the NFL draft. So they are entertaining. They're fun. I think they're really good, but I think they're going to be in a field goal game this weekend.
Danny, I think if Travis Hunter doesn't win it, I think Cameron Ward from Miami or Florida, I think he'll be right there. I know you've seen him. What's interesting when you break down the tape on him, he never throws the ball on balance. He's either backing up or throwing off his back foot, and yet he's the high completion rate with him. Your thoughts on Cameron Ward as a quarterback? Because he's a little unorthodox. If you're looking for what you want to call that structural build type quarterback, that, you know, straight over the top, always over the top with it, he throws it sort of sidearm, three quarters, whatever. But he doesn't set up a lot and throw, you know, with his feet under him. Your thoughts as a former quarterback to watch him play?
It's so much fun watching this kid play. He is so exciting. And you are spot on with your evaluation because he very rarely has good mechanics. His arm is like must be made of rubber the way because he's got a cannon. Like, he can put some velocity on the ball. He can deliver it from any sort of angle. But what blows me away is his calmness in the pocket. I've never seen a guy that his feet stay so calm, even so much so sometimes it looks like he thinks the play is dead. Like, he's almost stopped and just kind of walking in the pocket. And then, boom, all of a sudden he puts it up, you know, scrambles a little bit, buys some more time, and makes a throw, like an insane throw that's across his body, and he rips it downfield, and it hits a receiver perfectly in target. He's the reason Miami has turned this program around. I mean, whether it's been, you know, whatever one possession game they've been in, whether it was at Cal, whether it was Virginia Tech, whether it was this past weekend against Duke, where they're down 15 points in the second half, he's unflappable. He just does not care what is happening around him, what the scoreboard says. He delivers every time. It's a little bit frustrating because he does get careless with the football sometimes, but he's got that mentality, and he makes so many good plays. You can live with a boneheaded interception because most of the time he makes up for it with some sort of circus play. I mentioned Shador Sanders is the first quarterback off the board. I think Cam Ward is the second quarterback off the board in the NFL draft, and I think Miami is a legitimate national championship contender solely because of him. He is that type of player. It reminds me of Joe Burrow 2019. Different styles, But what he meant for LSU with that perfect season that I thought he played in 2019, their defense was okay. It wasn't great. That's how I would describe Miami's defense. But anytime you have a guy like that, a quarterback, you've got a chance to win against any team in the country.
Danny, when you look at the Bet Online odds for the college football playoff winner, anything stand out to you as far as somebody being too high or too low in the ranking?
No, I think they're dialed in pretty right. I always look for value, like who's undervalued. I don't have them in front of me. Let me pull them up here because I'm looking at them right now. I would say from this perspective, I was just talking about Miami, like them being there at 10-1, I think is pretty good. Bama, if you want to get Bama, so I don't think Bama wins this weekend against LSU, but if you do, now it's time to get them at 18-1 because if they get through this game, they probably get in the playoffs. And if they do win this game, that to me says Jalen Milroe is healthy. I still think he might be banged up, but they've always got the potential to win. So I kind of like them at 18-1 from a value play. The other thing is Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a wild card. They haven't played anybody. I mean, they played one team, Texas A&M, and they beat Texas A&M. That's their one big win. Then they lost to Northern Illinois. Since then, they've been getting better and better. They're a 26-point favorite against Florida State, which is probably more about Florida State being awful. But Riley Leonard is pretty special. They're kind of a wild card that I look at. I don't think they're a national championship contender, but at 33-1, and they're almost a certainty to make the playoffs, maybe they could get hot and win three games in a row. I don't think that's the worst value. Of all the other ones, I think all the other teams at the top are legitimate national championship contenders. So if you like them, go ahead and get them because they're not going to get any cheaper, I don't think.
Danny, always appreciate your time. Some great insights. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
Thank you, Danny.
Awesome. You guys, too. Always great catching up. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Danny Cannell, college football analyst. He's courtesy of Bet Online. You can check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff conference, Heisman, and college football week 11 lines. And when we get back, we're going to get into our pick six segment. Charlie will give us an update on the standings and then go through our rundown of who we like this weekend right after this. Stay tuned on WWL, the Treasure Chest Casino. Be right back after this. Want to remind everybody, if you work or live in the Vacherie, Louisiana area, you can meet Saints legend Deuce McAllister and Mike Haas tomorrow at the First American Bank and Trust headquarters. They'll be there for a special edition of Fans in the Pro live for a Veterans Day celebration. Come out and celebrate our nation's heroes with Deuce and Haas and beautiful Vacherie at First American Bank and Trust headquarters. That's 2785 Louisiana 20 tomorrow, 4 to 6 on WWL.
Man, I know where Vacherie is. They ain't too far from I live.
You can stop in and say hey to the guys.
I might have something else to do.
Well, we got right now to do get into our pick six segment. How did things go this past weekend, Charlie, and what do we got on the docket to pick this week?
So starting off with last week, guys, Bobby and Steve win at 4-2 on the week. Mike, you went 2-4. I went 3-3. Just kind of recapping real quick what happened with you, Mike. Really tough week in college football, Penn State, A&M, Pitt. You know, Steve, you ended up going with South Carolina. You were the only one that picked them, so that gave you a game on everyone else. Texas A&M really dropped the ball. I mean, there's nothing else you can really say. Pitt really let both of us down, Mike. The Saints let everyone down. Everyone had the same NFL picks last week, so we all picked the Saints. That didn't work out. We all picked the Lions and Falcons, which did work out, and that's how we get to 3-3 for me. Mike, you went 2-4. Bobby and Steve both at 4-2. So, looking ahead to this week, I'm currently in the lead on the standings. I have a 31-23 record. Mike, you're at 28-26. Steve, you're right behind at 27-27. And Bobby is sitting at 24-30. Bobby gave me his picks for this week as well, so I got those ready to go. And we're going to start out with college football week 11, guys. I only picked two games because I think the NFL slate's a little bit better this weekend. So we got four NFL games, but we'll get to those two college football games right away. Number two, Georgia opens as 2.5-point favorites at number 16, Ole Miss. Bobby's got Georgia. I agree with him. What do you guys got?
Georgia.
Oh, we got a clean sweep right off the bat, gentlemen. I'm going with the Bulldogs, too, even though they're on the road. I don't care. I like them in Ole Miss.
I just like what Danny had to say about them, in all honesty. I was thinking of potentially taking, you know, Ole Miss, but just...
He swayed you.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I was back and forth on it, but this is a clean sweep. So Georgia all the way, guys. Up next, we got the SEC showdown that everyone's looking forward to in Death Valley. Number 11, Alabama opens as 2.5-point favorites at number 14, LSU, and Bobby's got the Tigers.
Tigers.
Oof, we're going to be getting everyone the same picks in college this week. I'm going LSU at home as well.
pick Alabama, Joe.
No, this is a clean sweep for me. I was back and forth on this one a little bit, but Alabama's got some issues, guys. Mike, you've done a good job of kind of pointing them out, specifically in the secondary, and that just kind of scares me away with LSU's passing attack the way it is. Now, if it were the opposite and you're talking about, you know, Alabama's got an elite secondary and their run defense is a little bit suspect, then I'm a little bit different. But give me LSU plus 2.5 here, guys. I got a couple points to work with in Death Valley. It should be a fun game. Moving on, NFL Week 10. We're starting off with tonight's game. Thursday Night Football, the Bengals at the Ravens. Ravens 6.5-point favorites at home.
Yeah, I'm going to take Baltimore. Just don't like what I've been seeing out of Cincinnati all around. The defense is pretty porous, and Joe Burrow's weapons besides Jamar Chase kind of concern me here. I just like Lamar and King Henry tonight to roll to a big victory, and I'll take that 6.5. Given 6.5.
Can I take the over?
Yeah, right.
On this, I'm gonna take Cincinnati in the points.
Ooh.
So Bobby agrees with you. Mike, I agree with Steve. I'm taking the Ravens here. And I saw a stat that popped up, and the reason I'm taking the Ravens is because of this specifically. Jamar Chase in 4 games without T. Higgins this season. This is via Ryan Mink on social media. 26 catches, 194 yards, 1 touchdown. Jamar Chase in 5 games with T. Higgins this season, 29 catches, 523 yards, and 6 touchdowns. I know the Ravens' defense has been kind of prone to giving up some splash plays in the passing attack this year, but it seems like you kind of mentioned there, Steve, the only one really there is Jamar Chase. T. Higgins is hurt. Zach Moss is hurt. Like, I don't know, guys. I'm going with Baltimore here. I don't like the Bengals' run defense. Give me Baltimore and the 6.5 points.
I think it's close. I think the Ravens win it, but, man, I've seen their secondary. Man, Jameis Winston carved them up.
Right. They give up some splash plays.
Oh, goodness.
All right, moving on, guys. We got the Steelers at the Commanders. Washington opens as 2.5-point favorites at home. Bobby's got the Commanders, and I tend to agree with them. I mean, they're just rolling right now, guys. Give me Washington at home. I know that their defense has been playing a lot better recently, you know, against this Steelers offense. Give me the Commanders minus 2.5.
Yeah, I like Jaden Daniels in Washington here as well. I don't know if you gentlemen saw that Hail Mary pass is now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So congratulations.
Jaden
Daniels already in the
year
Hall.
One.
Year one. Exactly.
Year one. Jaden's
rookie
in.
Year, so I'll give the 2.5 with Washington.
Yeah, I'll go with Washington also.
Clean sweep again, boys. And moving on, we have an NFC South matchup. The Falcons, 3.5-point favorites in New Orleans against the Saints.
Ooh, man, I'm going. Oh, give me Atlanta.
I'm going to be different here against Mike, and I'm going to give me the Saints. I'm going to go with that Darren Rizzi interim head coach bump that you mentioned, and just think, if you are going to win another game this season, it's going to be against the division rival. And I know these are tough, tight matchups. I just think the Saints come out with that extra oomph in this one. So I'll give the points to Atlanta.
You have to pull out the stops, but, I mean, who is Derek Carr throwing to?
Yeah, I know. I hear you. Just give me a heavy dose of AK and Hill, please.
Yeah, give me Atlanta here. Steve, you're standing alone with the Saints on this
one. I'm alone!
Yeah, I knew A-Bear was going Atlanta.
Yeah, Bobby's got the Falcons as well, minus 3.5. And then we're our final game of the week, guys, Sunday Night Football. The Lions, 3.5-point favorites on the road against the Houston Texans.
Oh, Detroit for me. Yeah, Houston's so banged up right now.
And Detroit's the best team in football right now. I mean, you can say what you want about the Chiefs being 8-0. I think Detroit's playing better.
But, man, Houston, I think they had a puncher's chance if they had their weapons. But now, man, they devoid at wide receiver. And, man, they really miss Nico Collins. So, to me, I got to go with Detroit.
I did a quick little look here because I'm torn. Seeing Lions 4-0 on the road, Texans 4-0 at home. What's going to give in this one? I agree. The Detroit Lions looking at least in contention to be that one of the best teams in the NFL right now. They definitely have the offense with Goff. I can't believe I'm saying that. I've never been a fan, and he's been pretty impressive this season. The defense all around has been a tough nose, you know, with Dan Campbell. This team just finds a way to grind things out. I'm going to take them in Houston.
This is a clean sweep, guys. Bobby's got the Lions. I got the Lions. This is the one thing. I remember, Mike, we talked to Stink about this, Mark Schlereth, and I said that, you know, kind of the overreaction about C.J. Stroud having a quote-unquote sophomore slump has been a little bit overblown, and it's because of the situation around him. As you mentioned, they're really banged up in the wide receiver room. Nico Collins was really kind of putting on that all-pro type of season before he got hurt with the hamstring. But then that offensive line has just been so bad.
They suck. It's been awful. Really bad.
To be blunt.
No, I mean, it's been terrible. So the half point scares me a little bit. You know, I think it will be a decently tight game between two really good teams. But give me the team I'm more confident in. Give me Detroit -3.5 at on the road in Houston.
So that is a wrap on our pick six, huh?
Yeah, we have a lot of clean sweeps here. The Commanders, the Lions, Georgia, LSU. So, you know, we're all either going to have really good weeks or really bad weeks. So stay tuned to that.
So we're all in agreement on 4 of the 6 this week. So, yeah,
so
like
all
you said,
of us are going to stink.
I expect a lot of bad records, but we'll check in next week with it.
Okay, we're going to take a break right now and be closing out the next segment right after this. After the next hour, we're going to be getting more into the Alabama versus LSU matchup. The managing editor of Tide Illustrated, Tony Sakalis, will join us as we get some inside info on those Crimson Tide. We're going to take a break, though, right now and be back with more Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest right after this. So stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk as we close out the 5 o'clock hour, getting ready for Thursday Night Football, 7 o'clock action here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Going to be a fun one tonight, folks. Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals, Burrow versus Lamar. Anxious to see this one. I think, like you mentioned, Mike, I'm taking the over in this one for sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are.
No D.
Both defenses are really – nah, they ain't even matza-matza. They both have been pretty bad this year.
Heading to news right now. When we get back, we'll break down more of Bama taking on LSU and, of course, Saints-Falcons. Be right back after this on WWL.
Yep. Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Yes, indeed. Inside the Game Bar and Grill, come enjoy some food, gambling, and Thursday Night Football. Obviously, coming up 7 o'clock, we'll have that also. WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app when the Cincinnati Bengals take on the Baltimore Ravens. And some breaking news for fantasy football owners. If you drafted Christian McCaffrey #1 overall, you are finally going to get him back. The wait is over, folks. He will. Christian McCaffrey make his debut Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for San Francisco.
Man, it's been a long wait. And, you know, listen.
Remember, this was training camp, too, against the Saints. That's why part of the joint practices were called off.
You know, with McCaffrey, we've kind of been down this road before when he was in Carolina.
Right.
He missed a lot of time with lower body issues, if it's hamstring, knee. And then now he's got Achilles issues on both. Man, I wish him well. He's a good dude in life and come from a football family and hope he can hold up. Because he is a difference maker out on the field when he's healthy. Unbelievable talent, you know. But the guy that took over, Trey Mason's pretty doggone good too, man. He's a special guy. If he's healthy, he's the best back in the NFL.
Yeah, definitely going to be an injection of some energy for that San Francisco team. But they've been staying afloat, obviously. But you're not the same team without him. But, man, oh, man, like you said, it has been forever since we've seen McCaffrey in action.
Yeah, and can they make a run late? You got the Cardinals. Now, who put that on the dance card? The day 5-4, I think, at this stage. And they leading the West. My goodness. Like I say, nobody would have picked that. Nobody would have picked it. But, you know, the 49ers are 4-4, sort of Rams. And I think Seattle's got right four too, wins, yeah. too, but they got one more loss. They 4-5. Man, Seattle, man, they break up all over the place. And Geno has not played well this year. Boy, he's been he's like Derek Carr. It's been the stock market all over the place. But the Rams can get healthy. I would like to see what happens. 49ers, Rams get healthy down the stretch. And can Arizona, most people, other than Buda Baker, I'm going to take him off. Name me some of the other starters on defense.
No, you.
And Bobby was like, Mike, I don't know. Okay, that goes to show you they're not a really talented defense, but they play hard. They're aggressive to the football. They're trying to rebuild there. But, boy, do they have some offensive weapons with Kyler Murray. And, you know, you got Marvin Harrison Jr., James Conner at running back. And, man, they've been explosive this year, putting points up on the board. I think they one of the teams, it's over 200.
Yeah.
Now, they've given up over 200 also. So they've scored 207 and gave up 214. So they're putting some points up on the board. And, man, Kyler, he's really having a strong season for him.
Yeah, and he was dogged, obviously, a ton because of – you know, his injury history, the issues with him in video games, apparently. But he's really come out this season and had a pretty nice year right now. And you mentioned with Marvin Harrison Jr. over there, like to see that hookup keeps him improving.
Yeah, you can see with him, he had the start of the season like I thought Brian Thomas would.
Okay.
I thought Marvin would be ready to roll in the NFL, and it would take Brian a few games to get used to, because Brian's really a football puppy. He didn't start playing football until he was a senior in high school. And then now, all of a sudden, Marvin's making it, and with 28 catches, almost 16 yards a catch.
Five TDs.
But, oh, you know, think about that. 28 catches, and five of them end up in the end zone.
Yeah.
And so you can see that connection there. Well, boy, they got a tight end, too, field to leave it. Trey McBride.
Sure.
My goodness.
He's a problem.
Man, he's one heck of a player. I think he's got over, I think it's 45 catches. Steve, I don't know.
Yeah, 45 receptions, 481 yards. No touchdown, surprisingly, though.
Yeah, but, man, he can move the sticks.
Right.
And then that's the important thing. And James Conner, man, what an unbelievable story with him as a runner, receiver, and, you know, beating the cancer gig. And you just see this guy. He gives you everything he has on every play. So, man, every week you're like, okay, this is when the bubble gets burst for Arizona, but yet it hasn't. But again, defensively, I think if there's a downfall, it's there for them. And I think the Rams are a little better defensively, and certainly the 49ers are better defensively than Arizona.
Yeah, now I'm cheating. I'm looking at all the Arizona Cardinals roster and stats, going through some of these names on the defense, and still I'm like, who? What?
Yeah, it's a who's who. Now, the Zaven Collins, I think a lot of people know.
Right.
Tulsa guy who played linebacker there, was a really good player. But, man, the other guys, you know, Jalen Thompson, Mac Wilson. You know, so it's a who's who, and they don't have that standout guy other than Buda Baker. But I think they know that they've got the pieces in place offensively, so this offseason they can concentrate on the draft and in free agency and getting defensive players.
Got to give it to the head coach over there, too. Even last year, they played
hard. And they play hard.
They were a problem last season.
They play hard.
That's the Eagles.
Yeah, and you know, that guy, the Eagles have still, they lose their offensive and defensive coordinator, and they let your boy take over. Man, God bless him, Steve. He's still got a job, and they got so talented.
Man,
it's almost like though every week you're waiting for him to screw something up, and he tries.
Right, they're winning despite the head coach, which is wild.
I don't see how he survives. You know, to be honest with you, because Mr. Lurie in the past has not had a. Man, he fired Andy Reid, but I think he wanted. this coach to work out. He brings you to a Super Bowl. You came close to winning it. But, man, you lose the two coordinators, and they ain't been the same.
No, for sure.
And on the field, you can see it. There's a lot of haphazard stuff. And, you know, Sting brought it up when we had him. Okay, in a driving rainstorm, he sends the kicker out there. Hey, kid, get out there and kick that 57-yarder. What?
Come okay, on, right.
Man. But it's every week like that. So he is fun to, man, if you had to cover him, boy, like my boy John Kincaid.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Mike. He said every week is an adventure with this guy.
Well, at least it makes it entertaining, like you said.
Well, they ain't boring.
Right.
Okay, because if you bad and you boring, you get fired.
And in that market, too. Ooh-wee. Oh,
man, but they not bad, and they certainly not boring.
What we're going to do is take a break and get more into our LSU-Alabama discussion. The managing editor of Tide Illustrated, Tony Sakalis, will join us after the break, breaking down what's going to happen in this matchup Saturday night, Death Valley. We're going to have Olivia Dunn. Paul Skeens as the pickers before the game on College Game Day.
That'll and Nick Saban
in,
there.
In the How house, about too. That? So tons of excitement going into it. And the live Tiger on the field. Woohoo! Coming back after the break, we'll be talking Tigers versus Tide right after this on WWL. Part of that big weekend of games here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app will, of course, be LSU versus Alabama. Everyone's been talking about it and gearing up for the big matchup Saturday night in Death Valley. To help us talk about the Tide side of things, Tony Sakalis, managing editor of Tide Illustrated, joining us now. Tony, how you been?
I've been doing well. I'm ready for this weekend's matchup.
Tony, last year when LSU played Alabama, and, you know, certainly a big part of it, Jaden Daniels, and then he gets his clock cleaned in the third quarter, and that was game, set, match. But with Jalen Milroe, if we'd have been playing two-hand touch, he'd have gained as many yards and scored as many touchdowns as playing tackle. LSU didn't come close to him this year. What I am watching and breaking down tape of Bama over the last couple weeks, Milroe's not been the same runner, almost like he keeps himself in that little pocket. Now, every once in a while, he'll drift out and he'll make a run. But last year, he scared you so much because when he hit that stride, he was running away from people. Is that something, you know, maybe is being taught to him? Stay a little longer in the pocket. Try to find your receiver. Don't take that big hit downfield.
No, I think it's actually the opposite. If you look at it early in the season, he was running, you know, pretty well, and actually maybe even more, kind of like what he was in that LSU game. And then there was a couple of weeks, you know, coincidentally when Alabama was struggling, that he kind of went away from that, and he, you know, he held the ball a little bit too long in the backfield, maybe looking for a bigger plays. I think really what's being taught to him is, you know, go into these. He has a better understanding of what he's looking for at the line. And then if that's not there, it's really just to tuck it and run. I think, you know, the struggles that you were talking to are maybe, you know, him getting flustered, maybe trying to do too much instead of just, you know, I think what Kalen DeBoer put it as is just, you know, kind of almost forgetting what he did, what makes him such a special quarterback, you know, and a lot of that is his athleticism and, you know, his ability to just run past people. And that will open up the stuff for him in the passing game that he's looking for, but he can't lose track of what makes him special, you know, and that's what, you know, really when he broke out against LSU, that was kind of the game he broke out. And that's what was happening was, you know, he was just running past LSU and that opened up some plays downfield as well. I think that's just what he's got to do. But the problem with Jalen is I think he gets a little flustered when he gets a lot of pressure and then that kind of alters his decision making. So really, you know, from an LSU standpoint, you know, they've got some pass rushers that can be a big impact in this matchup, and I think that's probably the game plan that I would do is, you know, kind of try to get in his face, get him into, sacks or, you know, throwing the ball into bad situations. That's kind of been the game plan on him.
Would sugar rush him, in essence, keep him in the pocket like a teacup and force him to make the throw. Years ago, John Chavis, the old chief, he did that against Johnny Manziel. Man, Johnny, complain. Man, they're not blitzing me. And that's what he wanted, because if you blitzed him, then he'd find a lane and he'd take off running downfield. Tony, one of the things, and we've seen it here, some great receivers, When you talk about Jamar Chase and certainly Jefferson and Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., I've never seen a freshman make this big of an impact in the SEC like what Ryan Williams is has done so far. And I'm old enough, I saw Lynn Swann at USC. That's who he reminds me of. His body contortion, his ability to adjust to a ball that's not quite right, and he'll go up and make a play. With people around him, he catches the football. And, you know, he's almost like a ballerina going up and making that catch. Now, you guys have had some first-round pick receivers, too, that are good. I don't remember a freshman that good in the SEC.
Yeah, I don't either. I will say that Julio Jones was very good as a freshman. He didn't necessarily have the passing game or the quarterback to take advantage of it. So maybe Julio. But I think if you go back just from what I can remember from Alabama football, and you know, it's really from 2008 and on. You know, I think maybe Julio Jones, Will Anderson, and now Ryan Williams are guys that I think could, after one season of college, play in the NFL. And actually perform well in the NFL. I think that, like, if you took Ryan Williams, I mean, he's still got some things to refine, but if you took him, and I think he'd be a first-round pick, and I think he'd be an impact player in the NFL next year. I felt the same way, a totally different player, but I felt the same way with Will Anderson Jr. You kind of look at just the body build of a Julio Jones, and you kind of think the same. You know, he might have not looked at stat-wise, but you kind of think that maybe he could have done it. But there's not a lot of kids that you can say that. You know, even the kids that are surefire number one picks, you know, in the future, they're not ready after 1 year. But I truly believe that Ryan Williams, you know, if you dropped him in the NFL right now, he'd be a productive receiver.
The secondary, man, I've covered SEC football almost 40 years, and all certainly through the Nick era. And Coach Saban, I can't remember another secondary that has not played too well like what Alabama has. And I get it. You lost a first-round pick corner. The Saints have the other guy in Kool-Aid McKinstry on the – and then you had a big freshman All-American transfer out. Teams have been going after that secondary. I suspect that's what LSU is going to do also, that they're going to try to attack the two corners and maybe try to hit a deep pattern downfield also against Alabama. In that time you've covered it, have you seen a secondary play as poor as what Alabama's played so far this year?
Yeah, I guess the thing there is it's weird, but I mean, maybe not. You know, I'd have to kind of go back and really think about it. But I think when you look at this secondary, the thing that stands out is the depth isn't there. So that's kind of a lot of teams with the transfer portal. But, like, not only are you losing your starters, I mean, you have the guys that maybe were more experienced. And you had, like, a Trey Amos leave for Ole Miss, you know. That one stung for Alabama because he was ready to step up and he would have been the guy. Now he's a starter at Ole Miss. And you had some of those other guys, too, that are just more experienced, leave for better opportunities elsewhere. Now you've got some like five-star kids. I mean, I think Jalen Agbaje is going to be great, and I think Xavier Brown's going to be, you know, great. But, you know, starting a true freshman, I don't care if they're a five-star true freshman, starting them right away, it's gonna have those growing pains, you know. So, it is poor and at times, and I think that, you know, it's definitely something else you can attack. What I would say is the key to this one is, you know, will they have time to hit him deep? Because I think if you give Garrett Nussmeier time to hit the secondary deep, you know, especially with Lacy and the receivers and Anderson and the receivers that LSU has, it could be deadly. You know, you could really, I mean, this Alabama secondary has gotten beat deep, and LSU has the weapons to expose you deep. It's going to be down to, I think, you know, guys like LT Overton, guys like Q Robinson for Alabama, two edge rushers. Are they going to be able to kind of pressure Nussmeier, get him in the same thing I kind of talked about with Milrow, but more in a pocket? You know, are they going to be able to force him into some decisions and maybe just not give him time to let those plays develop? Because, yeah, if Nussmeier has time and you look at that offensive line that LSU has, you know, it's tough to beat. But if you give that guy time against the secondary, it's going to be tough. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Tony, looking at this game for you, is there anybody that maybe isn't being talked about enough going into this matchup that you could think for Alabama that could be a game wrecker for them against LSU?
Yeah, especially with the weather, I wouldn't be surprised if this one, you know, turns into a little bit more of a ground game. And, you know, we'll see because, you know, we've kind of Alabama fans have been, you know, begging for more traditional just running back runs all season. They kind of got that against Missouri, and they really moved the ball well against Missouri. They ran for 271 yards. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, like maybe a Justice Haynes or a Jam Miller just kind of has a big game. You know, if they kind of, you know, try to establish that running game, especially if it's kind of sloppy, you know, if it's raining at all, you know, and try to open that, you just kind of control the game that way. Also, you know, Alabama is not usually in the business of slowing things down, but, you know, if they have the opportunity, you know, if you're going against a track meet with some of the explosive weapons that LSU has and you can run the ball, maybe that's something that you could use a little bit. Maybe just keep your defense kind of rested on some big drives. I mean, third downs are so key for Alabama. That's something they struggled with on defense, is stopping third downs and then, you know, getting them sometimes on offense. So I think that's going to be big. So for Alabama, I think staying out of those, you know, third and longs is going to be huge. And then when you look at how do you do that, a lot of times it's getting those productive runs. So I think Justice Haynes is coming off one of the best times I've ever seen him run was against Missouri. So let's see if, you know, maybe he can build that up. That's kind of my under the radar pick that I would pick. It's hard to call him an under the radar player because I think he has the talent to play on Sundays eventually, but you know, he's not necessarily somebody you'd talk about right off the bat.
Tony, you just made LSU fans, if they're in a car, kind of drive off into the ditch. Because if this becomes a running game, man, we got some issues here. LSU has not been able to run. Now, Caden Durham has kind of by himself hit a couple of big shots. But this team can't move anything up front. They've tried all kind of different looks and everything else. But I think we got spoiled because of one dude. Jaden Daniels. And you thought, yeah, I mean, okay, we're going to be able to run the football this year. No, Jaden did that improvisational. That's why you got a guy that rushed for over 1,100 yards. But he did a lot of that on his own. Now they've got to move people up front. LSU is not real physical in the trenches. They don't get hardly squat running the football. It would be a surprise to me. A real surprise if LSU could run the football Saturday night. That would be really, really surprising to me.
And Alabama's decent at stopping it, too. So, I mean, that's you talk about maybe how did they control that. Is like, you know, if you make LSU super reliant on the pass, I think that could be a deadly, you know. If you just shut down the run, I think it's going to, you know, open things up for the secondary to maybe be able to, you know, drop back a little bit and have some more room to work. I don't know. I think Alabama is pretty good at stopping the run. I think they've got two really able linebackers. You've got Dante Lawson and Jahad Campbell. Jahad Campbell, man, is really come on strong. I wouldn't call him a first-round pick, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's an early second-rounder. He's just a guy that just rose up, you know, kind of shot up the stock on him is really high. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that'd be a concern for LSU. You know, you can't run the ball. Alabama is not necessarily the team that I would look for to break that habit or to kind of get in, to improve. I think for both teams, they're coming off of an open week, so maybe some of those, you know, you look at some of that interior push. Maybe they're able to kind of figure out some stuff that maybe some wrinkles that would help them out. I think that can go both ways, you know. But I think, you know, LSU fans are probably right to worry about that, just like Alabama fans are right to worry about going up against the pass. I mean, those are two areas of weakness for both sides.
Yeah, both are flawed. Believe me, both teams are flawed. Tony, man, LSU looked as though they had gotten over the special teams hump. They were the kicking game, punting, everything seemed to be okay. They play Texas A&M, and three of them, you know, I think the first one, kind of a high snap. They did get it down, and then Ramos, you know, he shanked it. And then he got one of them. He hits the holder in the head. The other part was the holder's fault on the second one. The deep snapper's fault. Come and tell us a little bit about Alabama's kicking game. Now, you guys had a kicker. He was unbelievable, and he's kicking in the NFL today. But the punting and kicking game for the tie, because it may come down to that. It may come down to a kick late to win it one way or another.
I can't tell you too much because they haven't really had opportunities to kick. You know, that they go out and they get the Lou Groza Award winner from last year and Graham Nicholson from Miami of Ohio. But I think he's only like 2 of 4 or 3 of 4 or something like that. The joke is that, you know, you got this, you know, primo kicker and he doesn't really ever kick the ball. Alabama just hasn't attempted that many field goals. He doesn't have quite the leg that that Will Reichert has. I think, you know, if it came down to like 55-yard field goal or something like that, I think Alabama might be in a little bit of trouble. They went for a long field goal, I believe it was against Tennessee, and they missed it. He's just he doesn't do kickoffs. They got a separate guy to do kickoffs. So I mean, like he's a really accurate kicker, though. I mean, he won the Lou Groza Award. He's, you know, only missed one kick last year, so I don't think they're you know, lacking in that regard. And then punter-wise, man, I think that might be Alabama's best position. I mean, James Burnup is somebody that – you talk about somebody that doesn't get talked about enough. You know, James Burnup is a former Australian Royals football player. This is only his fourth year playing American football. I mean, man, he looks like a great punter. I don't keep up with the other punters around the nation, but it wouldn't be a surprise for me to see James Burnup also make the league. I mean, he's consistently booming, you know, 50-yard punts and 55-yard punts and pinning people inside the 20. And the thing about him, though, is that he might boom like, you know, a 48-yarder, and you're not returning it because it's so high up in the air. So he really kind of neutralizes, you know, the other team's return game and is able to flip the field. He's been super reliable. Might be a couple of, you know, bad kicks, but I would say for the most part, he's just somebody that Alabama can totally count on. So it's hard to get excited about a punter, but, you know, at the same time, you're right, those can influence the game for sure.
He's an unconventional Australian kicker because he gets height on his kicks.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot because we've had him here with the Saints. It's kind of a low ride. Okay, it don't go real far, but there's no return because, you know, it's up enough that you can get under it. But this guy, he's different because of his ability to put some height on those punts, and that's what's impressive about him.
Yeah, it's different, too. I think a lot of that might have to do with, you know, with Nick Saban. I don't think he liked the whole running Aussie style. I think they tried that. I've heard rumors that they tried that once a few times in practice, and it messed up, and he instantly just threw it out the window. So he kind of made James Burnup more of a traditional style punter. But James can still put a spin on the ball. You know, a lot of times you'll see even his shorter kick, they'll bounce in that Aussie way where they – kind of like you think, oh man, he shanked that one for, you know, 38 yards, and then it bounces 12 more yards, and he's automatically, you know, all of a sudden you got a 50 yarder. It looks the same on paper, right? but he doesn't do a lot of that running to the side. I wonder if it hadn't been for Saban, if maybe he did kind of punt a little bit more like that typical Australian, you know, punter. Who's the guy that LSU had back in 2009? That killed Alabama in the game of the century. Somebody like that, you know.
Tony, definitely appreciate the time from you. Check out all his work at the TideIllustrated.com. I'm sure LSU fans and Tide fans can get plenty of information there leading up to Saturday's kickoff. Hope you enjoy the game, and we'll be talking to you soon, Tony. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, no problem.
Tony Sakalas, managing editor of Tide Illustrated. LSU and Alabama fans, go check out his work there. We're going to take a break, wrap things up right after this right here on WWL. Stay tuned. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been talking NFL, been talking college. Want to remind everybody to tomorrow, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Ian Ozan, Alan Waldell be live at Covington High School as the Lions take on St. Paul's in the crosstown rivalry game. If St. Paul's wins, they'll clinch the District 6-5A championship outright. If Covington wins, they'll win a share of the district crown, plus updates from the Enterprise Staffing Catholic League Game of the Week. That's Holy Cross at Brother Martin. Holy Cross needs a win to keep its playoff hopes alive. A win for Brother Martin would boost the Crusaders' playoff seed. Also reports from the district 10-2A championship game between South Plaquemine and Isidore Norman. Newman, Amit, and Jewel Sumner, and North Shore at Slidell. That's all on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup tomorrow night, starting 7 o'clock, going till 10:30, WWL-FM on 105.3, WWL.com, and the Odyssey app. Got to bring up two guys, big one tonight. Rummel at Carr. Looking forward to heading home and catching the rest of that.
So you picking Rummel tonight?
I'm picking Rummel tonight. I'm going with Go Raiders.
Hold on. Let me see how much money I got in my wallet here.
I know it's a tough matchup and wish I could head out to this game. Definitely looking forward to seeing it, though. I heard Carr is a absolute beast on that football field, man.
He got some
speed,
too. He got some pretty good players on that football team. But one thing with Rummel, man, they are so well coached. And, you know, Coach Bonk, he squeezed all the vitamin C out of that orange. Man, he does a good job. And so, yeah, it'll be a great game tonight. And, Steve, I think the good news for LSU is, and I've mentioned this before during the show, that C.J. Daniels probable after practicing today. And I was telling you, and when I watched the tape, and Garrett gets the ball back from the snap. His first peek, if CJ's there, is right at him. And so, you know, with Kyron, he gets a lot of bracket coverage. So he's trying to beat that bracket coverage. But he takes that long peek towards CJ. CJ does all the dirty work, okay? He run that short intermediate route. You catch the football and take a big hit. Now, he's got a little scoot after the catch, but he's not considered a burner. And other thing he can do well, man, if you throw a pitch out there, he can block.
Right.
Now, you ain't got, you know, because some of these receivers, they don't even get in the way. At least Kyron, he kind of gets in the way. The one thing I told Kyron this already, hey, you got to leave him go. Okay, he's trying to block downfield, but he holds on to him. the ball carries 5 yards downfield, and he's still got to hold him. No, you got to let him go. C.J. Daniels is a big part if LSU is going to beat Alabama because Garrett trusts. He's going to be in the right spot when he needs a play. When he needs him, I know where he's at. I can move the chains. Also, to Chris Hilton's snap count went up in practice. But Brian Kelly sort of tempered expectations on how much he could play because he said he's missed so much time. So you wonder about the timing. And we saw it against A&M, not once, but twice. Man, Garrett Nussmeier puts a ball up in the air. Tre'Davious Green, he's 6'6" and a half. He mistimed the jump. He's going up against a 5'10" corner.
Yeah.
And had he timed the jump, it's a completion. The other one was Chris Hilton. Chris stopped running and jumped up for the ball. Man, my old neighbor Joe Clark, he's been passed away, but that would have done him in right then and there because he could not stand to have a receiver stop running and jump. He was like, keep running. You don't need to jump up in the air. The timing there because of the missed time, and with Tre'Davious, he's a new receiver. He's playing a new position, and the timing was not there because you missed out on a couple big plays there against A&M early.
Winding things down here at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill right next to the FanDuel Sportsbook. Not number three, not number two like the Cajun Cannon says.
Number one.
Hopefully the Saints can get back to being number one or at least close to it this weekend, taking on those Dirty Birds. We'll be back to close things out right after this here on WWL. Yes, indeed. We're getting ready for Thursday Night Football about to start here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Bengals versus Ravens. You can also come to the Treasure Chest Casino, watch the game, have something to eat, place a bet on the game as well. Really convenient, awesome spot here, Mike. I can't talk enough about it, honestly. The Game Bar and Grill, great setup and good food, good company.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can tell game time's right around the corner. That long line, the place that bets, it's almost like last call. You would know that.
Yeah, there you go, exactly.
That one time. Last call. And so they were racing to place that bet before the game starts up.
Definitely want to thank everybody here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Always so hospitable. Appreciate you and enjoy our time. We'll be coming back next week. Tomorrow, fans in the pro, Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes at the First American Bank in Vashri. Check it out. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned. WWL, who dat?
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience performance, overall comfort, and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The Nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.